Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 761. And I feel like I say this every time I introduce this man, and it has legitimately been entirely too long since it's been at least 6 months, evidently. Shahid Abdul Hadi, what is up, good sir?
Like Roman Reigns, I have been on extended leave, enjoying my time off.
Oh yeah, there certainly hasn't at least been some there's some lack of trying and some not lack of trying, and time's just not lining up proper, like. But hey, finally got that problem solved, and it is great to have you back.
It's good to be back on a lovely Thursday. It is currently 93 degrees because Texas decided to turn on the thermostat this whole week, where nearly every day was in the hundreds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just to say, today was 99, so tomorrow is 102. Saturday's 106, Sunday's 105, Monday's 102, Tuesday's 101. Oh, okay, so out of the next 10 days, it's one day under 100 degrees.
Okay. The summer is what keeps me in the north. I am okay with freezing my ass off every now and again.
It is June, Kevin. And it's been, if it's only 98, I've been feeling blessed.
That kind of consistent heat would be tough. Oh man!
I live in a place where it's like I get, special weather statement. Yeah, it's too damn hot. Stay in the house. Yes, I know. But as hot as Texas is, it's not the hottest thing going on. The hottest thing going on is the American nightmare himself.
It's still quite a story. I can't believe that Cody Rhodes has quickly become a WWE darling. In his short time back, and wow, did he cement that with his performance at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I was paying attention to that whole story from the time he got hurt to the story of, like, he was going to have the match. I was thinking maybe they have something quick, they ride him off, everyone understands, like, no, the son of Dusty Rhodes is going to die for us, because like I said, he's not doing it for himself. He's doing it because it's a privilege to do it for the fans, and I rolled my eyes outside of my head even before I saw him take his jacket off. And then I saw his bruise. I'm like, I thought we were done doing this hero shit.
Evidently, that answer is no. A very firm no. Good God.
And they had an excellent match. Corey, I'm one of the biggest critics of Corey Graves, but he definitely added to the match as a spectacle of the match, and I didn't really have an issue. I understand why Cody Rhodes won, and then he comes out the next day, has a speech. Seth Rollins gets his revenge as he should, because once Cody started talking about, oh, I'm going to start Money in the Bank a month from now, I'm like, they better not.
Yeah, I'm like, am I not seeing the injury that I'm seeing with my very own eyes here? That is not a month rehab.
Yeah, and maybe I was thinking, like, he might be suicidal enough to keep putting off the surgery until he gets the briefcase and then have it, and then come back whenever. And to be perfectly blunt, I could blame him, but I don't blame him. And I don't blame WWE, and I don't blame pro wrestling. I blame America. Because too many times we do this whole, you work while you're sick, and you take one for the team, and you just sacrifice everything for capitalism. Because you don't want to be selfish. And I'm like, it's dumb. Like, it is goddamn dumb. I don't want to hear this whole, oh, he couldn't have hurt it anymore. Yes, you can. You can always hurt something more, and guess what? You can always hurt other parts of the body overcompensating from the fact that you have a torn pec. Grab your chest, Kevin. Like, grab it. Think about how hard it would take for that to tear.
Yeah. Clean off the bone, nonetheless, as it was described multiple times.
Yeah, like, he wasn't fighting Wolverine. Like, most muscle tears in the upper body come from your muscles being bigger than they have any right to be. And we all know that, so we can leave that there. He got injured, and he's having a whole-ass match in the cell, and even taking out the safety concerns. I know wrestling is about suspension of disbelief. Why didn't Seth Rollins put him in an armbar, a abdominal stretch?
Oh,
like he has a torn chest. Work on it.
He did work on it. I mean,
really work on it.
Like, he could have worked on it more.
I'm just laughing. Like, if that had been Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar, they would have tore his arm off and beat him with it. while talking trash, and I get why Cody won. I'm not even mad that Cody won. It's not like Seth was buried by losing. It's just the whole, we keep doing stories like it was the reaction after it that's just so irresponsible. Oh, he cemented his legend. He's the biggest babyface in WWE. He's a hero. And I'm like, did we learn our lesson with Kurt Angle about glorifying this goofy shit?
You would think so. But nope. Nope.
Because I wasn't hearing all this praise for Kurt Angle when he was wrestling when he shouldn't. I heard him get called Perk Angle to the point where Kurt Angle had to say, yeah, I know about that nickname. I never wrestled while I was high. I took the pills before and after matches. Like, he...
Yeah, that one's like, you realize that was still in your system, right, dude?
Yeah,
that's Kurt Angle with not a great grasp on. Oh, motherfucker. Stupid Rangers. But yeah, Kurt Angle.
Kurt never got celebrated for roughing out. And, you know, he, like I said, it started with him. I wrestled the Olympics with a broken neck. Maybe he shouldn't have. I know the Olympics come once every 4 years, but I'm like, you only get one neck. WrestleMania 19, the whole story was, you know, if he land wrong, he might die. Nobody said he was a soldier for it. Everybody was like, what is wrong with you? The whole story about WrestleMania 19 was people wrestling when they had no business wrestling. Because they said the same thing. I went to the hospital. I thought I was going to die because I had so much caffeine. And then I went and had a match. And then I'm like, we keep glorifying it. And it wasn't like he got injured during a match like Triple H did when he tore his quad. Like, yeah, go ahead and put me in the walls of Jericho because I'm a soldier. Like, that's fine. It's, you know you were hurt anyway, and you go out and still wrestle. And then everybody's out here, like, the whole peer pressure is going to be, well, Cody did it, why can't you? I don't want to see 5 years from now watching on the Peacock Network, oh, Cody had to deal with his demons. Like, we used to deal with all those other wrestlers that wrestled when they were injured, and, like, they went down a dark place, and, like, come on now. You see Jeff Hardy limping around?
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
He's around my age. I can run up and down the steps. I bet you he couldn't.
Yes, I would imagine you are correct. That boy is in rough shape.
It's like, we have too many stories of people wrestling when they shouldn't. Hey, wrestling is tough to begin with. Wrestling while hurt is just asinine. Like, and it's like, okay, you get glory, they're going to show it on the network, they're going to retweet it once a year, and then what? Then what? They're going to forget about it.
Yeah. It will eventually go into the memory banks, and it won't be talked about that much.
Yeah. I mean, every now and then they're going to bring it up. A bum might. It wasn't even SummerSlam. Mania, it was Hell in a Cell. I'm like, you doing all this for it, bud?
He had to save the main event, man. Had to save the main event.
And I just laughed because I'm like, Roman Reigns came back from cancer and got booed again within a month. So what are we doing? It's like, I get why he did it. He didn't want to let the team down, and he is Dusty Rhodes' son, and Dusty Rhodes will probably do that too. And of course, it's going to help for his legacy, his career, and his reputation. But I'm like, long term, that is a bad example to set. But we all do that stupid stuff. You watching hockey right now? Yeah, I broke my leg, but I can't let down the organization, so I just put some tape on. I just had a lower body injury. That's what they said, because you'll never hear about the injury until after the fact. As a Flyer fan, it's like, oh yeah, I tore my ACL game 1, but I just played through it, so you can lose in 6. Wow, Wolfie, dude, you're a real hero.
Oh yeah, at least in that situation. Well, in that situation, you really probably are. That's one where I'm like, man, the replacement's got to be better. Like, I've seen some of these guys playing, and they are awful. Like, there are times where it's just like, I wonder why so-and-so is invisible in the playoffs. And then you come to find out something like that. Like, oh, I had an MCL tear at the beginning of the playoffs, and I was just never the same.
Oh, what? You know, it's just shorter than normal. Oh, my lung collapsed and everything like that. You know, put one game at a time for the organization. I'm like, why are y'all here playing with a collapsed lung? So you can half-ass, like, sit down. But we teach that in sports. We teach that, and we teach that at work. My silly ass did something like that. Like, I was talking to Jeff on the show. I was like, I had a bad shoulder, and I kept putting it off because we were shorthanded at work. And I knew if I had to get it checked out, I would be out for a while. And it got to the point where for 6 months, I kept putting it off to the point where not only I couldn't lift my arm above my head, my fingers start going numb like I was Paul Orndorff.
Oh, my God.
So finally, I had to start getting it checked out. And it took about a month for them to figure out what was going on. And after 6-5 hours of elbow surgery, and 2 years of recovery and rehab, my arm finally works the right way without pain. And you know, you think my job remembers that? No. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember you had that surgery, and they keep it moving. My dumbass was walking around like I was Mark Messier for no damn reason. No one cares. I'm out here taking one for the team for capitalism. Like, it was stupid.
Oh.
And I'm pharmacist. I save lives. Cody Rhodes is just having a match with Seth Rollins. Like, move the matches around. It wasn't like there was a world title match on the pay-per-view anyway. Switch the match order.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was hilarious that the only reason that was the closer was because, A, it was the only Hell in a Cell match on the schedule for the pay-per-view, and B, honestly, it probably was just because of Cody's injury, too. That women's match that kicked off that pay-per-view was an outstanding piece of wrestling with Asuka, Becky Lynch, and Bianca.
Yeah, they all work together so well, and they just have such different styles. And it's kind of like, one day I think people will appreciate how good Becky Lynch is, because she was the top baby facing the company, and now she's coming back as a maniac heel, a maniac chicken shit heel, and it's embracing it. Like, she dresses like Miley Cyrus, she talks all this nonsense, and she has no problem getting sprayed in the face and looking like a damn fool. Like, that's most people in that position was like, yeah, I'll be a heel, but I gotta look tough, I gotta be a badass, I'm not gonna look stupid. Becky has no problems whatsoever looking stupid.
It
takes confidence.
Yeah, her and her husband being on this same gimmick is pretty amusing, honestly.
Man, that daughter's gonna have some stories to tell watching her parents. Yeah, it's my parents are Cruella De Vil and the Joker, and they both wrestle. Yeah, and like, you know, we already know how good Asuka is, and it is her bracer. Like, she's just an insane Japanese sexy woman. You don't understand what she's saying half the time, but she says enough English for it that you know what's going on, and she just kicks ass. And she's an evil baby face.
Oh, Yes.
We haven't had that in a while for like women. Like, I mean, beside her, like, Io, well, Io Shirai's just Io Shirai. I don't think she's a babyface. But like, Asuka babyface, but she came out and just screwed Becky Lynch for no reason. Just to be petty. Oh. On Monday.
And people still cheered. Yeah. Asuka out there being petty, and people are like, yeah, great, go for it.
Huh? And I was just laughing because people was like, oh, Becky don't deserve it. I'm like, they're telling a story that Asuka's trying to drive Becky insane, and it's working. That's the storyline. Like, that whole. You really think she cared about the 24/7? Okay, of course they shouldn't interrupt the match. That's the point. She's feeling disrespected, and they're going to keep disrespecting her. That's the whole point. And it's working.
Oh, because did they actually say that would have been that would be even funnier? Because if they said that Asuka paid them to interrupt the match,
she would have lost her damn. Becky would have lost her damn mind. Oh, I just saw the Ranger scoring a shot from a near impossible angle. How about that? Go Rangers, whatever. But no, like the women's division is in a good place because they get to do their, at least on Raw, they get to do their things. Although I would have thought they would have gone to Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair so soon.
Oh, yeah, that's a pretty interesting call on that front. I guess has Bianca had, like, that's one of those ones where I'm like, I kind of want the title holder to at least have X number of days as champion, and I'm wondering if Bianca is to my arbitrary shelf life for a champion yet.
I mean, she just got the belt in April again, so it's only June.
Oh. What?
Yeah, she won it back at, she won it back at Mania.
Yeah, I guess it hasn't been quite as much time as I thought it was. Yeah,
I hope you can get 30 days at least.
Yeah, I guess I'm always hopeful for probably like 90-day minimum. If you, because it just feels like they are finally going, yes, Bianca Belair belongs with, you know, the Becky Lynches, and Asuka's kind of like a spare part in there, but Charlotte and, well, Bailey, if she ever makes it back, I suppose. Like, yeah. And I feel like Bianca should maybe have a little bit longer reign if you're truly trying to establish her as one of your top-tier women.
And I think they feel the same way, which is why I was just surprised that they would, because it's kind of like, they're the future, especially Rhea Ripley at her young age. That's a Mania match, those two. Because you can basically tell the story, best friends since NXT, came up around the same time, friendly rivals, and now you're fighting on the biggest stage. It's like, the story is simple. To have it, Money in the Bank. Like, I mean, you can always run the match back. Again, it just seems like you could have had some. I mean, Doudrop could have won and nobody would have cared.
Oh. I think that's the problem, is that just the other women have been. Well, A, it is going to hurt. Like, I don't really want to see Rhea Ripley lose because she's already had a couple of cracks at the championship and hasn't gotten it. So that's one reason why it's a little awkward. But what, Liv Morgan's had a chance recently, Doudrop's had a chance recently, and who else was in that match?
Oh, Nikki A.S.H.
Oh, good God. Okay, never mind. That wasn't an option.
Yeah, this is the problem we have, like a dominant babyface. It's kind of like, it's not a lot of people that you could think incredibly beat Bianca Belair. Rhea Ripley happens to be one of them. So, because it's kind of like if Liv Morgan won, like, no, I was thinking Liv beating her. No disrespect to Liv Morgan, like, she's great, but it's like, come on.
Yeah, she's that's not a good matchup for Liv. And yeah, you kind of need a real heel for Liv to have that type of a match.
And that's basically Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
So, and they've had that, and we've seen that too many times as it is, and like that. Every time they wrestle, that whole situation just feel like a fetish. Just on multiple. I mean, but pro wrestling feels that way anyway. Sometimes it was like those two. It's like, come on now. I've watched Cinemax. I know how this story looks. You can be PG all you want, but you market them a certain way, you look a certain way, and they have that whole big woman bullying little woman vibe. And it's like, we're all adults here, so we'll leave that be. But I'm curious, at least with the women, you kind of have a pecking order on where you have the men. It's not just Raw, but especially Raw and SmackDown. WWE does not have enough depth at all. They never replace a lot of people who left, and it hurts when your champ, like you have one world champion and he's on vacation. The guy that he beat one of the belts for is hunting in Canada with Wolverine. Big E is injured, and Randy Orton isn't there. So you have a bunch of people doing things, and now Cody Rhodes is hurt. So you basically have a bunch of. You have a bunch of top people gone, and now you have a bunch of people doing whatever.
Oh, for sure. They haven't had a good hierarchy in a long time. And it did seem like they were getting something together. And then, yeah, we kind of had this calamitous turn of events. And I do kind of feel like that was one of the reasons why they decided to turn Edge back babyface,
Because
honestly.
they needed a baby face. I mean, you look at Raw, it's like beside Lashley, who else was a main event level baby face?
Yeah, it was him and Cody. That
Yeah,
was the
and Cody's
list.
hurt. And Cody's hurt. So I was like, because I watched that time. At first, I'm like, oh, this is out of nowhere. But then it was like, oh, they don't have any baby faces, and they rather have Edge the baby face than Finn as a baby face. Cause I'm like, Judgment Day won the match, and y'all kicking out Edge? Like that shit. That's like some Dallas Cowboy. Now I'm like, that shit don't make any sense. But you get why they're doing it, cause it's just a numbers thing, and it's
Oh.
yeah. It definitely came out of nowhere, and it definitely made sense from a logistics standpoint. From a storyline standpoint, it made no sense whatsoever, but it's kind of like you got to do what you have to do. So I know AJ Styles is sitting there rubbing his chin like, what in the world's going on?
AJ's been in such a weird spot for so long now where they clearly respect him and what he brings to the table. They're also like, yeah, you're not getting anywhere near the championship for the rest of your WWE run. Like he's in that Kevin Owens zone where it's just like, hey, we'll use you in championship matches every now and again. But yeah, you're not winning either.
Yeah, it's kind of like once you, maybe it's like that Kofi, like him and Kofi is like, you reach the top, you ain't going there again. But we'll always brag about you making it. But I'm like, if you put the belt on the Miz when you needed it, you can put the belt on AJ Styles. Like, or you can make AJ Styles the main event again. It's like, no offense to the Miz, I'm like, it's AJ Styles. It's like it's the same thing with Kofi Kingston. Their problem has been they haven't. People that were elevated dropped down, they didn't make them strong. So now, when you need somebody, you don't have somebody. It's like, you can't, they don't have enough. This is like the 2000s. This isn't, or even like 3, 4 years ago. You just don't have so many people where it's like, okay, you can be in a main event for 3 months, like Big E, and then never be in it again. Like, that's gonna bite you in the ass.
Oh.
Because you're gonna have the women carry everything. Because the men can't cut it. Like, I watched Raw last week. It ended with Omos and Bobby Lashley in a contract signing. I'm like, what the hell is this? And the
For
show went off, and I'm like, I hadn't watched Raw in a while. Like, is that what y'all doing since Roman had both belts? Like, what type of, just like a WWF wrestling challenge segment. man, you ending Raw with this? No offense to Lashley, but it's just kind of like not having a champ on the show is an issue. I'm sorry.
And on top of that, I really feel like the interim championships have been pretty downplayed here recently. I know that Ricochet is defending against Gunther tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I hope people enjoyed him having the belt, because Gunther's going to kick that boy back to Kentucky.
Yeah.
Walter did not travel over the Atlantic Ocean and get abs to lose to Ricochet. So, yeah.
Oh, man.
And I couldn't even tell you. Oh, and that's right. And Theory has the other belt. So.
Yeah, oh, shit. Yeah, I forgot. I guess Theory has kind of been pushed a little bit.
And yeah, irresponsibly, but he's like shark mouth himself. Like, I just laughed when they made a big deal of hype Mustafa Ali. Oh, Chicago's fine. It's his hometown. And they love having people lose their hometown. And it's whatever. Ali winning would have been nice, but it's whatever. They push it there. But it's like, Theory versus Lashley? How is that supposed to turn out? Oh. If it's not Lashley squashing him. Like, come on now. Like, Lashley kicking him in the ass out the ring.
Yeah, that was one matchup that they set up that I'm like, I'm with you. Like, I'm like, how is this going to work? Like, Lashley should just be ragdolling this clown. really shouldn't be much of a match.
It was like when Zelina Vega was feuding with Rhea Ripley. I'm like, what y'all think going to happen? Double her size, and she's the baby face. And it's like, she gonna huff and, she can, Zelina can huff and puff all she wants. She will huff and puff, do two moves, and get squashed. Like, because that's how it works in real life. Like, no offense to, I mean, plenty of offense to Theory, because the hell with them. I'm like, Lashley, they treat Lashley like a big deal. Is Theory has no advantages besides youth. And they already had them as like, while we make a bicep, I'm gonna make one. We just, like, come on now. You're gonna do a body contest against Bobby Lashley. Like, cut this out.
Yeah, the only one that can do that is, at least to some degree, is Omos, since he's like damn near a foot taller.
Yeah, so, but that's the type of thing that's going on in Raw, where you have storylines and you kind of like squint and it's like, don't make sense, but you gotta do what you gotta do. I mean, at least they're using people. Like, you know, you have people like The Miz out here, like, keeping the show running, and thank God they, like I said, thank God they have The Miz, because he's kind of like the glue. Like, him and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are like the glue that keeps this mess moving, because without them, that's all I gotta say. Yuck.
Yeah, well, The Miz is smart and doesn't try to do stuff like Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, that's why he's chilling in his nice house with his beautiful wife. And yes, Twitter, stop being disgusting. Yes, we saw how Maryse looked. We saw what she's wearing. Cut it out.
Honestly, like, I think I was on Twitter during that segment. I'm like, huh, I'm surprised I'm not seeing more tweets about the girls. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I saw plenty, and I was like, yes, I'm aware, and so is her husband, and so is she. And most of the tweets I saw were from the women, but it's like, hey, we can appreciate nice physiology all day long. But kudos, like I say all the time, The Miz has won in life.
Oh.
He has played the game of life, and he has won. Kudos to him.
Yeah, you can't make that stuff up. Just cannot make that stuff up.
Yeah, so, I mean, other stuff happened on Raw. We don't really have to get into it. It's just kind of like they're basically getting ready for the next pay per view and dealing with the fact that they kind of are shorthanded right now. So you do what you got to do. NXT doesn't have their problem being shorthanded because they have their formula and it works for better or for worse. Especially they must have like just a factory. They just bring these women out to get a bigger belt.
It's been pretty wild, the amount of women that they've thrown on NXT recently. Because they introduced a bunch of names during that tournament, and they haven't reused some of them. Others obviously have stuck around.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. Like, Nikita Lyons was the hottest thing since sliced bread. She gets hurt, and they keep it moving. It's like, okay, we can swap out one problematic blonde for another problematic blonde. And there goes Tiffany Stratton, who is awesome. It's like, you know what? Just from wrestling standpoint, she is such an awesome heel because she knows her character. She's, I'm a rich jerk muscle Barbie. That's her character. Like, I'm an asshole that brags about money, and I can beat the shit out you in the ring while looking pretty. And she's 22. That's it.
Holy wrestling. Snaps.
How old is Roxanne? What, probably like 21? 20?
Something like that. And even that, I mean, it's the perfect role. Like, the WWE signed that 18-year-old that is part of Chase U now.
The University of Notre Dame. Fuck that. I laughed at that segment. Because it's just so wild. Because I'm like, yeah, I'm picking college. I just turned 19. I felt old. And of course, it's a storyline. I'm thinking, well, she's so damn young. Maybe she needs to go to college if she could come back in like a couple years. It would have made sense. My silly ass not even paying attention. It's just a Chase U storyline. It's like they can do stuff like that because they have a zillion women that all look different, that all have different backgrounds, can wrestle. It's kind of like they can lose four or five people. Like, I see Indy Hartwell. She seemed like she stand out as like a veteran. It's kind of like, and she was the new girl like 2 years ago.
Yeah, she's one of the few holdovers that are left. Like, you mentioned her earlier, Io Shirai has been nowhere to be found recently. Like, and that's how loaded the women's division is. They're missing people, and they still have just a poop ton of them on TV left and right.
Yeah, like Kaylee Ray can change her name, be Alba Fire, and the whole storyline is, oh, she thinks she can cut in front of the line because she just changed her gimmick, and who want to challenge her? It's like, you know, Tatum Paxley will go out, and then Lash Legend will get to be the bully. And you can have that storyline going on. You can have like three or four different women's storylines going on at the same time, and it doesn't feel stretched with NXT. Because it's like, having a woman faction like Toxic Attraction allows you to do that because anybody could beat Mandy Rose, so no one feels like it's not like this whole she don't deserve a title shot. Like, Mandy Rose is a perfect champion for that, where it's like she can wrestle anybody and it doesn't feel like, oh, that woman don't deserve to have a match. Like, Mandy Rose isn't that much. She's important to the show, but it's not like she's going to outclass anybody in the ring.
Yeah. It is kind of interesting that she's the veteran leading these younger women in matches.
What old honky tonk man moveset. I still can't wrap my head around these women who look like supermodels and wrestle like 1985 heels, just stomping and clubbing people. Because it's like, you keep in mind, we used to having the horsewomen or, you know, Asuka or Bianca Belair or Ember Moon, like a certain level of athleticism, like Shayna Baszler, like a certain level of bullying, or even Io Shirai. And Mandy Rose is kind of like the whole I'm Shane Douglas. Like, you talk against talk a good game, but it's I've had conversations with people. I haven't had it with you, and I always say a division is defined by the perceived ceiling of a champion. When you have a champion where the sky's the limit, like Bron Breakker, then you can reach a multitude of like matches potential because like just do anything. Mandy Rose, as good as she, as much as she's improved, has a limit of skill in the ring. And as far as long as she's a champ, you always going to run into that problem. And they've done a good job where it's like, you know, it's not going to matter if she wrestled Wendy Chu. Because it's like, you can still have a match and Wendy Chu got outclassed her. Io Shirai got to put brakes on to wrestle her and have a good match.
Yeah, those are probably Io Shirai's worst matches with her.
Yeah, because it's like, you got to carry her, and she's a power wrestler. So she can't keep up without, like, you know, and it's not like she can be a bump, like a, you know, an anchor or a bumper for, like, a high-flying wrestler, because she's not good enough to do that. So it's like, you got to let her, basically have to let her beat you up, and then your hope spots are going to be whatever. And it's like, Io Shirai and hope spots seem stupid because that's not her style. So it just creates an issue with like who she can wrestle. But they talk trash. They look good. I love, like, Mandy Rose's gimmick is basically like, you know, I look like a centerfold and sound like a racist HOA president soccer mom. Every time she says honey, it just feels so damn bigoted. And I don't know why it's her voice. Her promos piss me off to no end because they just sound like she sounds. I don't know if she is or not. Her voice sounds racist.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. The tone of everything, like, because she's not doing. Yeah, it's not quite the rich bitchy tone of that Tiffany Stratton's coming out with. It's definitely condescending. It's like a politically correct Karen is talking down to you.
Oh, honey, you didn't do a good job cutting that grass. I guess your husband's lazy. Like, that's the tone I get from her. And it's just her and that the tag team. I always feel like they need to take a bath. It's just like, I mean, that's the point that heels, you sort of dislike them. I do dislike them. I just feel like I dislike them for the wrong reasons, in addition to the right ones. But I mean, it works, and they're entertaining, and it says a lot that NXT can use their women tag team champions far better than the main roster could ever use theirs. That's all I'll say about that.
It is almost strange that. Well, I guess it isn't strange in the regard that, like you said, there are enough women on their roster to support a tag team division. They have not done a good job ever on the main roster with that. Before you could say, oh, well, Triple H is running NXT, so we know why the women's tag team are getting some time. Now, with the same people running both shows, it's a little more mysterious that's happening.
Yeah, because it's like, you have enough women on the main roster not doing stuff where you could have like three or four tag teams. And it used to be a time where, like, they used to have tag teams. And they just decided, like, not to do it. Like, break them all up. And it's like, so now you're going to have a six-pack challenge to wrestle, to get the privilege of getting squashed by Ronda Rousey. And I'm like, all right, I'm like, you didn't see Shotzi for like, what, 2 months? 2.5 months? Her and Zion Lee just vanished. And then this pop up and Zion Lee is like, I was defending the poor, but they're poor, so I'm defending myself. That's your heel turn. I'm tired of fighting for the people. I'm fighting for me. With no explanation. She just, you spent all that time making her out to be a hero, like a Power Ranger. Use her for 3 weeks, have her vanish for like 2 months, and then come back. I'm tired of fighting for these bums.
Was that this past Friday?
No, that's when she first came back again. That was amazing. And she turned heel. And her whole thing is, I was fighting for the people. Now I'm fighting for me.
Dear, I must have missed that. I must have missed that week. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
No, it was. It was basically like one of those, you know, picture in picture promos they'll do where you get like 15 seconds. Like it was a blink and you missed it.
Okay.
And I noticed that with SmackDown Women, because it's like Shashi with this over baby face and it has turned her heel for no reason. None.
Well, yeah. And it's I talked to Jeremy about it a little. It's bizarre that she has her two fathers die on her, and she just hasn't recovered from that whatsoever.
Yeah, it's a messy thing.
Yeah, recovering on TV is different than, you know, recovering mentally in real life. But if she's not recovered mentally in real life, like, why are you putting her on TV then? You know,
yeah, keep on moving. Yeah, it's a funny thing because it reminded me of like the Jeff Jarrett. He talked about that, like, you know, it took him a long time to process Owen Hart passing away. Like, it wasn't until like almost a decade later when he was going to therapy where he was like, you know, because it was kind of like, I won't go too much into it besides saying, one, Jeff Jarrett has an innate ability to land on his feet.
Oh, that man is a cat. His spirit animal is definitely a cat.
Like, kudos to him. Two, you realize how people forget young Jeff Jarrett was athletic and could wrestle his ass off. Like, I forgot too, because I'm just used to TNA Jeff Jarrett. And I was like, oh yeah, Jeff Jarrett used to have some hops. He's better go. So, there's a reason why he was getting. I think it was more. The gimmick always got in the way of the wrestling skills. And it's just funny how it's funny because him and Stone Cold Star, I'm like, yeah, internet said we had beef. Where'd that come from? And I remember, and you know what? You know, the funny thing is, I remember that too. But I never knew the reason why. People were just saying, like, I think he wouldn't wrestle. I think the rumor was he wouldn't wrestle Jared because Jared said something about he ain't like Stone Cold promo bringing up the Lord and something like that. Austin took it the wrong way. But I don't know how true that was. That was just the one I always heard. Because I always wonder why they never really feuded like that.
Yeah, I don't remember that being the case. And I guess I would have been paying enough attention to kind of know at that juncture.
Yeah, so, but they say it's basically people thought it was like they had beef from issues with Jared's dad, but like they never had any problems, but like the internet go the way the internet goes, so it's just whatever. But just hearing how Jared talks about his career, what he wanted to do, and it's just kind of like it was always a try to thing, like trying to figure out what you want to do, and then by the time you do, get appreciated. Because he talked about why he left WWE the second time, it was over money. Because like the first time, they didn't know what to do with him, he went to WCW. They didn't know what to do with him, so he went back to WWF. He finally started getting a push. He finally started, because there was a time where Jeff Jarrett was like, you know, super utility man.
Yeah.
Where you can move him up and down the car and do whatever. And I would slap my ass off. He put Cindy Margolis in the figure four to promote his show. I forgot that whole Jeff Jarrett woman beater role that he was on before he left.
Yeah, because wasn't that part of the whole China storyline?
Yeah, like he did that to them. He beat up Mae Young and Moolah, and it was kind of like, I think it basically came down to he thought he deserved more money. They didn't offer him what he wanted, so he never got around to sign his contract, and then he left. And it was kind of like he didn't communicate to Vince enough. Vince didn't communicate to him enough. They talked to each other. It's like, you know, we both wrong, but no hard feelings. And I remember, I think he said, probably the person that got blamed the most was Jim Ross for letting it get to that point. And it's funny the way he described it, because like, that's Jim Ross's job. But It's funny the way to describe it is kind of like it was real cordial and it was cool. The way the internet describes it is, oh, he held up Vince for money. He ain't never coming back.
Oh, yeah, I always feel like things are less sensational when you end it. Well, A, I always think that half the time both sides keep tight lips until way after the fact. And then they're like, oh, yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal. And it's just like, did you just not say it at the time because it was good for your business? You know, to look like the bad guy or look like there was a disagreement just to push up interest?
And Jeff Jarrett's eyes, yes. You want to know why? Because he talked about how when Vince brought WCW on their last episode, and the one wrestler he focused on and cut a promo on was Jeff Jarrett. You know what Jeff Jarrett's response was? He's like, oh, I thought I was going to set up a promo. I thought I was going to set up a program with Vince. He mentioned me by name. He talked about me. He didn't talk about anybody else. That's how Jeff Jarrett's mind works. So, and it's like, who am I to tell Jeff Jarrett wrong? He's basically running live shows. Like I say, he just landed on his damn feet. If somebody would have told you 5 years ago that Bruce Prichard, HBK, and Jeff Jarrett would have more power than Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, what would you have said to that?
Yeah, I wouldn't have liked it then, and I don't like it now, really.
Yeah, the Bruce Prichard, like, Jeff Jarrett knows what he's doing as far as, like, ring stuff, so I'm I don't really have that much of an opinion. As far as HBK and Triple H, it's just weird, because to be, it's just like two different NXTs. Like, Triple H versus NXT worked as far as, like, entertaining, but I don't know if it worked as far as, like, building people, because it's kind of like, you don't need to build Sami Zayn. Like, you don't need to, like, you don't need to, like, it's, you might have to introduce Samoa Joe, but you ain't teaching him nothing. And, like, NXT basically felt like NWA 1987. Great, but it's supposed to be developmental. It's like, I knew it was an issue when Timothy Thatcher got hired, because I'm like, for what?
You know, I guess I thought he was one of those guys that looks old but isn't, you know, he was going bald early or something like that. Then everyone's like, oh no, he's like in his mid-30s. And I'm like, huh?
A lot of city miles. That's all I can say. And it's like, I don't have anything against Timothy Thatcher, but I'm like, he's never going to be in the main roster. There's only so much you can do with him. And it's not that you're having him wrestle young people. So he's just taking up a spot. It's kind of like, what's the goal? And too many times NXT got to the point where it's like, if you're either going to be the third brand or you're going to be the developmental, you can't do both. And Triple H tried to have it be the third brand. It became the third brand for a second. And they was like, nah, this ain't it. And then once AEW came, being NWA light is no longer an option. I think that's what basically doomed Triple H's version of NXT, because it's kind of like, you can watch the 75-cent version, or you can watch the $5 version.
There was that, and there was no one to, like, the indies have been kind of too picked over at this point, too, to pull that off. And even the people like, Will Ospreay pops up. Like, he's like, nah, I mean, I think on a couple of occasions now, he's like, fuck the WWE. And I'm like, okay, sure. Like, I don't need you to come to the WWE at all.
You know what's funny? I saw him come out in AEW. The first thing I said was like, oh, here come this broke boy. Just because Seth Rollins called him poor. And that was my first reaction, because it's just amazing. When it's like, I remember Will Ospreay and Ricochet, and I was like, oh, this looks cool. And I've never had a positive reaction from Will Ospreay ever since. But it's just, I mean, you're just doing stuff. I've never liked this whole, I'm doing stuff, just do stuff. And video game wrestling has never appealed. Like, it doesn't appeal to me anymore. I'm like, okay, y'all doing moves, it's cool. And then what? And it's like, it's nothing. So I saw him come out. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I, like, whoop-de-doo-doo is Will Ospreay. Like, clap in my hand. Like, it meant absolutely nothing because I guess we go to AEW. AEW, they got too many people.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I they're the opposite of, well, they have too many people for the amount of TV time that they have. They have two less cable hours than the WWE. They have the same size rosters, though.
Yes. And you can't count the whole YouTube crap, like AEW After Dark, AEW at Breakfast, and all that. It's like, no, nobody's watching that. It's like, nobody count the NXT Lite.
Oh, no one counts main events for the WWE.
Yeah, like NXT has a whole thing like after SmackDown they had, oh, we didn't have to, like, we don't have, we're gonna have a 400 pounder wrestle 205 live, or we're gonna have, or I like when they had women wrestling on 205 live, cause, like, they are under 205, so why not?
Oh.
But it's kind of like, I mean, it's not cheating, so it's working, but it's kind of like, you only have a certain amount, you only have a certain amount of hours, you got way too many people, like Keith Lee out there losing the battle royal. I'm like,
that's the curse of a big man in a battle royal. Like, I don't know if that's changed since my childhood, honestly. Oh, you gotta watch out for Andre the Giant in this battle royal, and then he won like one battle royal my entire childhood.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, watch out, like Kane never won one, and he eliminated 11 people. It's like they go and jump the, they normally jump the big man. Because, like, don't let this big man be big, or you're not going to win. Like, Braun Strowman never won one. Like, it's just.
Well, no, didn't so he I win the Andre just, one year?
Yeah, he won the Andre. He never won the Royal Rumble. Thank God for it.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a story neither here nor there. But I watch AEW, and I'm like, Now you have all their belts here and another one.
Oh, my God.
Do you mean the All-Atlantic belt that includes Japan? Does somebody know how to use a map? Or they got their map from Jurassic Park?
Their map is from Pangea. Oh, holy shit. It killed me that immediately after introducing a new champion, a new championship, the ROH Tag Team Champions come out the next segment. The Owen Hart Memorial Champion comes out the segment after that.
You know what? I'm glad you said that, because I was like, did Adam Cole win the TV title? I'm like, what belt is that? And then they said on the Chiron, Owen Hart. I'm like, wait, that's a belt? I thought that was a tournament.
I understand why, you know, I understand that they modeled those after the Calgary Stampede Championships. And that's cool. The fact that he's going to be lugging that thing around now for an entire year and not defending it, it's as worthless as the FTW Championship.
Yeah, I'm like, does he get to defend that title? He's just walking around. Like, it's not even like the King of the Ring where it's like, you get a crown. It's like, imagine the King of the Ring had a belt. Let's see, like, what are we doing?
I don't know. Like, so I'm going to assume that Britt Baker is going to be running around with one of those. Also. God,
can we get Jerry Goff off the paint? If I never hear Britt Baker name again.
Jerry Goff.
Sometimes, no, Jeff calls it Jerry Goff. I call her Shane Douglas. Because she's from, I guess, because she got the same problem. Like,
yeah. She's
a ceiling. You gave all this time. She just talk like, blah, blah, blah. Tony, tell him I'm pretty, I'm bad, and I'm going to win this. And then I'm going to have a three-star match. And I'm like, they made a big deal. and it's to the detriment of women's division. Like, if you put her in WWE, she does not break the top seven as far as, like, women. And that's being generous.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things where at first, when AEW first started, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, man, I swear that I enjoyed her matches more on the indies than I've enjoyed these things. It's like, maybe they just had better opponents since there weren't a whole lot of women's matches when I saw her, and they usually brought in someone else who was good to wrestle against her. Like, I know that I'm pretty sure I saw her against Candice LeRae at least once. So, I'm like, man, I think she can wrestle better than this. We've had, what, 3 years of AEW now? And, yeah, she is mostly gimmick and just okay in the ring at this point.
Yes. Her ring skill would be fine if this was like the Eve Torres, Michelle McCool era of women's wrestling. We are way past that. Like, we are. And it's like, if I was Thunder Rose, I'd be mad too. Like, I'm the champion, y'all don't use me. And instead, it's Britt Baker and all these blondes like Anna Jay and the Bunny and Tainara Conti and the, who's the other one? It's another one, like Penelope Ford. It's like, they're almost all interchangeable. It's like, you got all these people that's interchangeable. And then Ruby Soho, you make a big deal. She collected dust.
Well, and I haven't completely written her off, but Toni Storm hasn't exactly really made an impact so far.
Yeah, she came out and ran out, you know, this week, and I'm like, good. It's like, you know, you just got a whole bunch of people just twiddling their thumbs. You know, if I'm Hikaru Shida, I'm like, I was holding y'all down in a pandemic, and y'all just threw me in a box like this is Toy Story 3. Like, I ain't playing with you anymore. I would feel a certain way. And the biggest issue is, like, Jade Cargill exists. We know what she's going to be. She's not there yet, but, like, she's going to get there. And it's basically kind of like we're killing time until she's ready.
Yeah, that's just such a weird thing where their second best female star, it's clearly that they're going, okay, we know that you're going to be a star. We also know that you need time. And, you know, they're obviously keeping her away even from the likes of Britt Baker, you know? It's just like, it kind of puts her in a weird spot. And you also don't want all of these women like Toni Storm and, well, I guess Ruby Soho lost to her already, didn't she?
Probably. My whole thing like this, just treat like Braun Breaker. Get her ready. Like, we all, this whole thing is like, you learn by putting in experience. And I still think they really don't know what they have with her. I think it's kind of like, she has to be so good where it's like forcing the issue. But you see her, and she got an entourage, and she got Stokes. It's like, everything about her screams, I'm a big ass deal. Everything.
Well, yeah, she's kind of at that point where I'm like, aren't you just going to pull the trigger on doing something bigger at this point? If you're going to let Britt Baker have 3-star matches, she's going to be able to do the same.
Yeah, and it's going to look more like, you know, like Jade Cargill ceiling's insane. And I hope AEW realize, like, the whole thing that they used to have is kind of like, people that was in WWE that weren't being used right is going to go to AEW. Cody Rhodes is now showing what the reverse looks like. And I'm sure that has them thinking a certain way, because I'm like, trust me, you may not know what Jade Cargill can do. You know damn well Vince McMahon does.
Oh, Vince McMahon, like, is salivating at signing her.
It's like, you get her, you put her on one side, Bianca Belair on the other side, and you don't have to do nothing else. That's kind of like, it's like Dragon Ball Z.
if someone gets punched through the concrete floor, I'll know that it's a real Dragon Ball Z episode.
Yeah, it's kind of like, and that's the thing with the women. It's like, you have all these women, but they're in a weird spot. spot where your best ones don't get time, and you're just giving time to the same people you always getting time from, and it's not like they get any better. Like, I was watching Thunder Rosa and Marina Shafir, and it was just weird because, like, Marina Shafir is out there like it's a like a Street Fighter 2, and Thunder Rosa out here trying to wrestle. Like, it looked like a clunky fight. Not in a bad way, it's just kind of like, I never thought Marina Shafir was going to win, but it looked like she was just slowly beating her up, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Like they, it was like a very deliberate style, and then, you know, Thunder Rosa wins, and then Marina Shafir beats her up anyway, and then, what's the phrase, Toni Storm runs in, and I'm like, okay, you know, you're going to have Toni Storm wrestle Thunder Rosa? I'm like, I'm not against that match, but where are you going?
Yeah, why is she the one saving Thunder Rosa?
Yeah, like, do they have anything? It's like we just grabbed the name. But like I say, you got 2 hours to fill, and you fill it. Like, you have this weird-ass battle of, like, you've got the clubs coming in, and the jacks, and the spades, and I was like, oh, yeah, I need to watch AEW more. And I'm like, this shit makes no sense. What the hell is like, oh, here come the five jacks, and I'm like, huh? And it's like a tag team, and two people don't like each other, and I'm like, oh, they're doing it by, you know, suits of cards, and I'm like, okay, I mean, whatever Tony Khan is using is something. Tony Khan books like a 9-year-old with unlimited bank money.
Oh, wouldn't life be nice if that was the case?
Yeah, I will say this: when Hangman called out Okada, I started laughing. I had the same impression that Adam Cole did. Like, come on now, you just lost. Like, what were you talking about? And I'm just laughing because it's like, I know they like him. People like these kick ass cowboys, that cowboy shit. I was always indifferent. I think that finish is stupid because it makes no sense. Okay, I'm a flip in the ring, lose all my momentum, and then hit a clothesline. Like, okay, I guess. And it's like, and then he's out my hair. I'm gonna tell you how I felt. I lost the belt. I'm not gonna get a chance for the belt. Politics are holding me down. And I'm like, what? Like, that's the thing we're going with. I just lost the title. I'm not gonna get a chance. I'm gonna fight another belt. I'm gonna challenge the IWGP champion.
Yeah. They unfortunately for them, they're kind of in a WWE situation in that part. Like, I'm assuming they have Okada, and with both Bryan Danielson and CM Punk injured, it's just like, well, who does he wrestle? John Moxley is the only one kind of on that level.
Yeah, I would love to see that match, but you know, he's busy wrestling somebody else, so.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a weird thing where it's like they got a lot of people, but they don't know what to do with them. Like, I see FTW and then, you know, quote unquote, best tag team in the world, but are they with the ROH? I can't keep up what belts they have. Like, who's the eight? Oh, is it the dinosaur team?
Yep. Yeah, Jurassic Express is the AEW champions. But neither of them speak because they're doing an extended breakup with Christian. Why? There isn't a payoff to that. Edge isn't coming over for Edge and Christian to wrestle Jurassic Express. So.
You're going to team up with Matt Hardy. Because Jeff shouldn't be wrestling anymore. I don't
know. Well, Matt Hardy shouldn't be wrestling either.
Yeah, you're right about that. No, because I see Phoenix and Penta, and I'm like, they just seem so wasted. But I think of a lot of people in AEW, it's kind of like they just seem like so wasted. Like, nah, it's not even, and it's like you only have so many hours to fill, but you got a zillion people, and they and the problem is you made them all seem like they're on the same level. That's the problem.
That is one of their problems, and that there never seems to be. There's an inconsistency to their product that, as much as I malign the WWE, that I feel like is a bigger problem with them. You know, because
Yes.
yeah, all of those guys. Well, and all the people that MJF called out, honestly, too. They're guys that Aleister Black has gotten more TV time in AEW. He hasn't really done anything with it.
Yeah, like it doesn't. We've talked about this before. Was like, with the exception of like Miro and Tanara Conti, you can't name, and maybe Adam Cole, you can't name a lot of people. It's like I went from WWE to AEW and did a lot better. I mean, I guess you say Moxley. That's more kind of like he stopped using drugs. So, but.
Then, well, I guess I feel like the WWE felt like the other guys were ahead of him, whether it's Reigns,
But even
Rollins,
then, I
Cena
mean,
at the
but it's like
time.
he was still world champ.
Oh,
So I'm
yeah.
like,
He did
I
good
mean,
for himself.
it's a yeah. Like if it's if your worst thing is I get to be world champ only once, then it's like it's a lot of people that never said that. But it's kind of like it's a lot of people where okay, they're on there, and now what? Okay, it's just a different gimmick. You wrestling different people. You don't seem like a bigger deal than you were before. You know, I'm
Oh,
seeing
yeah.
Buddy. What's his what's name? Buddy. What's his last name?
Buddy Matthews.
Matthews. I'm like, yeah, he's
Yeah.
great shape. What are you gonna do?
Oh, yeah. Well, and even the guy that he wrestled this week, Pac, they've done the best to try and hype him up. Between visa issues and COVID issues, that guy's AEW run has just been trash.
Like he's there and he's not there, and it's like, yeah, Death Triangle's this cool team when they are around, you use them, but it's kind of like it's like the Nets when they had Harden, Durant, and Irv. It's like they played together like 18 games in 2 years, 3 years. So it's like it doesn't matter if you, it doesn't matter what the potential looks like, they never use it, and it's too many things with that. It's like you had Miro was doing his great thing. As God's soldier, he got hurt, he vanished. Now it's like he's starting over again, and now a lot of energy is going to Wardlow, and I'm like, no. Like I get the organic storyline, but I'm like, if this is your next big thing, no.
Well,
No, like
I'm just gonna say that the lady of this house does find him quite attractive, and I think that she likes when he's on TV now. I'm not
man,
gonna go beyond that.
he looks like a more he looks more of a human than Brian Cage did, and he's
Oh.
obviously has the crowd behind him, but I'm like it's gonna be that same thing Braun Strowman ran to. It's like okay, once you champ, how are your matches gonna look? And it's like it's nothing that I've seen in the ring from Wardlow besides his squash match is gonna be like he can wrestle a 15 like he can wrestle a 15 to 20 minute title match that's gonna look good, and
Oh.
you got a company full of people that can wrestle for like an hour. So I'm like, okay, I mean, if he hot,
Yeah.
he hot, but it doesn't feel organic. It feels like it feels manufactured in a way, and I'm like, what's the ceiling? What you gonna do?
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of interested. I don't know how long he's been wrestling, if he can really improve in that department.
I mean, you can always get better, but it's like you don't want to be talking about your a main eventer, like learning on the like even when Sting was learning on the job, he had wrestled for a few years. You don't want this whole, it's I'm getting too much Ryback energy from that. Hopefully he doesn't have the mindset of Ryback, which is a story for another.
I definitely think he has more charisma than Ryback. Oh my God. Well, maybe Steve Levy was right in asking Jacob Trouba, "Hey, do you go out to intentionally injure people every game?" And considering he just threw an elbow at somebody, maybe he just should have answered yeah and walked away. Anyway,
What do you say? It is part of the game. Things happen in the scrum.
well, I liked how Steve Levy's like, "Do you intentionally go out and try to hurt people?" Who's gonna say yes to this, Steve Levy? Like, are
Right.
you this fucking dumb? You
Maybe if it was the 90s.
gotta hide that
Maybe if he
question a
asked.
little bit better than that.
It's not like he was asking Chris Chelios. Like, what are you talking? They don't admit this shit like that anymore. Like, yeah, if you ask Scott Stevens that back, maybe if you ask, what's his name,
Yeah.
Marshawn, maybe he might say it. But beyond that, they're gonna like, oh, you just play, things happen, with the boys and da da da. You're not gonna get, yeah, I'm the, they call me the Crippler.
Good God.
What do you think? I know you have to ask these questions, but it's kind of like, it's a way. Too many times you just feel like Chris Jericho when he used to call the WWE backstage announcers idiots.
Oh, But
So, but.
anyway, back to, I don't know if there's anything to go back to with Wardlow, honestly.
I mean, he's there. They pushing him.
Oh,
We'll
yeah.
see how it goes. But it's like you pushing a lot of people, and it's a lot of, we'll see where it goes. And it's like, I just like I see some of my like. Well, I'll say one thing: only AEW where you would see something like Will Ospreay come out, somebody Wardlow existing, Eddie Kingston having his shirt off, cutting a promo like he on his couch, and being a fan favorite, and somebody Jade Cargill all exist in the same universe. Like that's it's just kind of like you got every you got you have something for everybody. For better or for worse. I don't know if you got the time for everything, but it's like you'll find something that might fit your fancy. That's one thing I will say about AEW.
They are a little more varied. I'm not gonna, well, they're a little more diverse now too. I still think the WWE has them in that category, but
Oh yeah.
they
I made a joke. Yeah, I made a joke about how they have more belts than black people, so we're gonna leave
Oh
that alone. Yeah, I don't like kicking a dead horse, but I'm like, yeah, that's. I mean, you guys have hired more, but I'm like, it is what
well,
it is.
yeah, and those two guys, while again, they've had some screen time. I don't exactly see Keith Lee and or Swerve. Did he go back to Scott, or is he Strickland? Oh, it's just Swerve Strickland. Because yeah, everyone keeps on combining like their old name with their WWE name to come up with a new name. But yeah, neither of them are seem to be in track on track to do anything important in the near future.
Yeah, and that's going to be the thing. It's going to be this whole before AEW was the whole they had a market inefficiency to exploit. Where it's like these people, it's a lot of people in WWE that have a perceived ceiling that they can only go so far, and we can exploit that. Like Adam Cole is a perfect example.
Oh,
There's only
yeah.
so much WWE could do with Adam Cole. AEW can have Adam Cole as a world champion they want. It doesn't feel strange. So you could take that for a while. The problem is, okay, I got Adam Cole, and I got Kyle O'Reilly, and I got Bobby Fish. Oh, and I have Samoa Joe. And now I have Keith Lee. And now I have this guy. And now I have now you have a whole company of market inefficiencies. Samoa Joe doesn't stand out when it's like you got half an NXT roster on your show. It's like, okay, it's Samoa Joe, and he might wrestle a homegrown talent one day. He might wrestle Jay Lethal another day. It's like you have too many people that are kind of in the same boat, None of them stand out for you. You know, none of them really stand out that much, and you have limited time, and that becomes a problem. Like, and I'm sure it's a lot from AEW that's seeing what MJF is going through and looking and seeing how they treat Cody Rhodes, and it's like, maybe that might be me. Maybe that could, like, maybe that, because trust me, Vince would throw money at MJF. It's like, he knows MJF is like the Miz with less body fat, but I'm sure he would know how to market him if he wants to. And it's kind of like, Cody Rhodes being successful he is, it's probably opened up a lot of eyes. Because it's not like Cody Rhodes was this whole beloved son. They just made him into one.
Oh. And pretty much ignored his history, which is something that the WWE has a tendency not to do.
Oh, no, they had it both ways. They get to have Seth Rollins bring it up without them bringing it up. Oh, you left us and tried to ruin us with your little friends, and you can't break the throne, and then come back and sit on us. Like, Seth Rollins basically been playing a whole jilted lover defending the integrity of his home and this whole feud, and it's hilarious because everything he said is true, but they basically saying everything he did without mentioning AEW, but mentioning all the stuff that happened in AEW.
Yeah, well, and he also hasn't really, as much as he's mentioned kind of his Cody's past WWE run, he hasn't exactly made was it Starkiller? Or am I thinking Star Wars too much?
Stardust. Like, no, he left that be, he didn't bring it up, but he is more kind of like, he's having, why do that? You can just dress up like Dusty Rhodes. Like, so it's like, it's plenty of fruit to pick, so you get to pick and choose.
That was pretty funny when Seth came out wearing that outfit.
Yeah, I was driving home from work, I was laughing my ass, so I'm like, no, Seth Rollins is real good at this. I think it's getting to the point where he's too good being a heel.
He seemed like one of the guys that would have been a Roman opponent that they, for whatever reason, haven't really pulled the trigger
on. They had their one match. It ended with like a DQ or something.
DQ Seth Rollins victory, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
That whole feud was weird because it was basically like the Joker versus Batman, but Batman's a heel. He's the one person. He had Roman so damn flustered. Like, extremely flustered. And he was just laughing at him. Like, I know, come on. I know anything you're going to do, you big dummy. And Roman just sitting there, balling his fist up like Arthur. And it's just. And you're so used to Roman. Like, you're used to Roman Reigns being calm, but being annoyed when somebody says something that he shouldn't say. And then he gets, like, slightly irked. Seth just had him out of his comfort zone, and you haven't really had that since. You basically had the same acknowledge me, I'm the man. Like, ever since he beat Brock, it's like, you know, I guess they're waiting for either Cody to beat him or Drew to beat him. It'll probably be Cody.
And it's quite clear at this point, too, where they're like, hey, Drew, you're next up. Oh, we signed that deal for a giant show in Wales. Never mind, you're not up. We're going to wait until we're in Europe for you to be the main attraction with Roman.
I mean, you might as well. So, but it's just weird. But the thing, what AEW talking about market inefficiency, they had that advantage of the men. The women is a different story. And I think that's the biggest issue of the women division. WWE has this whole women's legacy where it's kind of like, their legends aren't going to go to AEW. And you don't see most of their big stars. Like, no matter how much beef Sasha Banks may have with WWE, she ain't showing up on AEW. She'll be in Hollywood first.
Oh.
Trish Stratus is never showing up on AEW.
I mean, Trish Stratus has barely showed up on WWE TV, so she is in no way showing up there. And God bless Lita. She got through that match somewhat recently. She's not showing up in it. I guess she might do an appearance or something. Not wrestling.
It's like their legacy people is kind of like, I'm born and raised there. This made me think I'm never leaving. Like, if I won't be on wrestling, like, we could make jokes like one. Nikki Bella ain't showing up on AEW. Never. Ever. Like, it's not going to happen. They couldn't have, like, Charlotte might be the only one, maybe, and even in this light, I severely doubt it. But and that's the problem that you're gonna run into, where it's kind of like you're not gonna get any of the legends for the most part, and most of the current ones that are big deals aren't leaving. And if they leave, they're not going on your show, because it's like I can be a WWE legend and milk like Summer Rae milking that shit like a champ cow.
Well, yeah,
as she should. It's like it's so, and most you're gonna have somebody like Ruby Soho and Athena, where it's like, you know, like I could see Nikki A.S.H. going, or like a Doudrop. You're not gonna see somebody level like Rhea Ripley. You're not gonna see somebody like the level Alexa Bliss gonna show up on AEW. So yeah, and then WWE's are plucking away all these young women. Like, if you between the ages of 18 and 20 and you an athlete and you look pretty, come work with WWE. Because, like, those women grew up watching Trish Stratus or watching Beth Phoenix. And now some little girls that grew up watching Sasha Banks or watching Bayley. It's like, that is a head start that AEW has to deal with, even more than on the men's side. Because there might be a lot of men that's like, you know what, I want to wrestle like Barry Windham. So you go to AEW.
Oh.
And but ain't nobody like, I grew up watching Britt Baker. Not yet. Like, she ain't inspired. Like, she is not inspired at general. I mean, I'm sure it's like somebody like, yeah, one day I might be able to be like, you know, a dentist and also wrestle. But beyond that, they dealing with this whole, they playing catch up. And I don't know if they gonna ever catch up as far as the women's side.
It's gonna be tough. And I mean, they're gonna need to, well, yeah, they need to concentrate on more women than just Britt Baker, too. And they obviously, like, yeah, Thunder Rosa, you mentioned it earlier, she's kind of pissed, and I'm like, I don't blame her. They did a great job of building up to her finally beating Britt Baker in a meaningful match. And it's just been an absolute dumpster fire ever since.
Yes, and it didn't have to be. And
nope.
Not only did they compete with WWE, they compete with Impact Wrestling, where it's like Impact still has women, and it's like,
oh.
And I don't watch Impact that much, but I'm like, they have women there that would definitely help. But it's like, if I'm those women, I'm not going to AEW for what? Like, if I'm Jordynne Grace, why would I go to AEW? Why? Unless you pay me a whole lot of money. What, like you're not going to push me the way I should be pushed, and I'm just going to be wasting my time. Like, if you ain't pushing Ruby Soho, what makes me think you're going to push me?
Oh, yeah. If you're not really, I mean, we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, both Ruby Soho and Toni Storm haven't had good luck. I don't really see Athena getting pushed.
Yeah,
you
like
know, just from the track records.
Yeah, she's going to talk awkward black slang. She had no business talking. She's going to get laughed at. She's going to have a decent match. And she's going to get ignored, where it's kind of like it is a limit on what you can do if you don't look a certain way. And unless you get treated like a big deal or you're like a special attraction like Hook, then you're going to be like, I'm sure, I know we've made the joke plenty of times. I know Mr. 10 himself, Sean Spears, is probably sitting somewhere looking at a wall like, I thought it was going to be something.
There has never been a man so hyped by other wrestlers who is so underlivered within the context of wrestling.
Yeah, like, it's... Paul Heyman would be proud. That's all I can say when I think about his career. So I'm like, it's a whole bunch of hype and there's a whole bunch of talk. I'm like, the ring work, the actual results never match the hype. And it's not even like a whole body thing or fetish thing, or like it's just like, okay, like this is what y'all hyping?
Well, it you usually kind of catch something, like even with the kind of going back to Britt Baker, she at least has a good personality and gimmick to hang her hat on. Sean Spears doesn't even have that. Like, did I find the stuff a little more entertaining recently with him being just MJF's soul lackey? Sure. That doesn't give you a personality, though.
Yeah, like I could turn on AEW and then, and it doesn't help if you turn on AEW. It's like, oh, that's Jay White. Yeah, big deal. Shawn Spears isn't. Like, whenever they have somebody that show up from somewhere else, it's kind of like, when Noah Suzuki shows up, I know he's a big deal. The Acclaim are just people who rap corny. Like, it's what people used to criticize WWE for this whole, we keep bringing back old people. And you're not pushing the young people, and rightfully so. And their whole response is, well, the old people are over. Y'all keep making a big deal. AEW whole thing is, we keep bringing these special guest stars from all these other places that are established. They're big deals. I'm like, okay, if you keep bringing these people from everywhere else, why would I pay attention to what you grew?
Oh.
Like, I just think about all those people that used to roll with Chris Jericho. What are they doing now? Are they, like Jericho's doesn't need to do anything. My mic beside Hager was whatever. It's like, it's what they doing? What are they doing?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Like I Santana and Ortiz kind of going to. They have been criminally underused for 3 years. I just don't even know what any other way to describe it. Like, because even within the context of whatever, oh, the Inner Circle, they were underused. It's not like Chris Jericho got them a shot at the championship. So,
And then the other ones, I'm just gonna piss off everybody with my girlfriend and be obnoxious. Like, okay, like at least Jim Ross stopped calling you the next Eddie Guerrero because y'all both Latin. But beyond that, it's like,
jeez.
yeah, just put Jim Ross out the pasture. His
I
corny ass, like,
couldn't believe they signed him for another year and a half or whatever it was. I'm like, just stop, guys.
I remember watching. I forgot what woman came out, but Jim Ross said, "Oh, look, she's kind of thick." Basically, this whole bitch hitting on this woman, and everybody was like, "Oh, it was Toni Storm." Matter of fact, it's like, it was like, "Come on, you. I know your wife passed away, but cut the dirty old man talk. Like, you're not Jerry Lawler." So why are you trying to sneak in? Oh, it's kind of like a can of biscuits, my God. Like under your breath, and they're like, "What? Nothing." And I'm like, and it's a shame where it's like I have Jim Ross is definitely a Hall of Famer, one of the best to ever do it, but he was around for so long where it's kind of like it is a whole generation of wrestling fans that have no idea how good Jim Ross is. He's just an old man on the hat that keeps saying Oriental and stuff that he shouldn't be saying.
Oh. And even when he fucks up now, he's got the out where he's just like, well, I just fucked up again, so whatever. And it's just like, because he called him Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan this week. And it's just like, oh my God, dude. Like, no. Like, it's not like. I'm trying to think of an equivalent in the WWE of someone fucking up a name that much. I guess they have, though, considering how many renames there have been, so never mind.
But it's like it's Booker T, but Booker T never had that level of excellence. And Booker T is like, he's not your play-by-play man either. it's just like Michael Cole wouldn't be doing that. And I think it doesn't hurt. I think it doesn't help him. Like Michael Cole, ever since he with Pat McAfee again, is like has just been excellent.
Oh, so, yeah.
And
Vince finally left people alone. Thank fucking God.
I mean, Michael Cole been there long enough where it's like you ain't gonna. But you're gonna tell him like, what? It's hilarious that Michael Cole is an official OG, where it's like he got a lot of power behind the scenes, and you would never know unless you knew the inside stuff. And just him and I'll just think about him and Pat. Like, oh, they lucked out with Pat McAfee. He's rich. He does not need to do that job. He is generational wealthy, and he can do whatever he wants in life. And he just chose like, you know what? This is my dream job. And I'm going to do it. And the fact, and it's like, and they work well together because it feels like Michael Cole is energized again. Like, he actually cares. And Michael Cole, when he cares, is awesome. And we've seen that enough times. Michael Cole, because we've seen a long time when Michael Cole didn't care. And it's like, ugh, just going through the, like, he wasn't bad. It was just kind of like, dull.
Yeah, it was just pretty whatever there for... Because Corey, yeah, I did like Corey Graves when he first came up from NXT. It's been pretty old hat for the most part for the better, probably the better part of 5 years now.
Oh, he has been there a long time. I think I stopped, I turned on him when he started doing both shows. It's like, all right, he ain't Bobby Heenan. And then it just come off as real obnoxious in a bad way. So...
Oh.
And I think the issue is, we can rant with this, have we just acknowledged the fact that they haven't had a good Raw play-by-play man in a long-ass time, and Raw has always been their flagship show?
It's been such that weird combination, because Corey Graves is there just to bust everyone's balls, because... And that's what makes him bad on that show, is that he's more concerned about making Jimmy Smith and Byron Saxton look bad than doing his job, really.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, Saxton trying to do his best to, like, cut it out, stuff going on. Like, Byron Saxton basically is like, I'm the exasperated adult. Like, oh, Corey says some silly shit again. Let me... And Jimmy Smith is just... there. Like, he's not bad. He's not great. He's just there. Which would be fine if it was a different show. That's Raw. Like, it's Monday Night Raw. It's like, it's just been for too long. It's either we couldn't find somebody. Then they had somebody for, like, what? A month?
Yeah. Adnan Verk was there for a month or maybe two.
It's like, you out here experimenting on your flagship show. It's like, huh? Like, I think that's been my biggest thing with Raw. It's like, we just acknowledge the fact where it's like, you had mediocre play-by-play people, and it stands out because SmackDown is good, and NXT is good. So you got no excuse. Like, Vic Joseph and Wade Barrett get along great, because it's like, you know, Wade is awesome as, like, a heelish color man, but he'll still, like, he got common sense, he cracks jokes, and it's like, you know, he's a friendly antagonist to Vic Joseph.
Yeah.
Which is perfect. And although I do laugh when I hear Wade Barrett talking about, yeah, here come Nikita Lyons, I know y'all be waiting for these thirst traps, I saw the timeline. Imagine hearing that, not only the fact that you hear that he's right. Like, HBK is a bad man. He knows what he's doing with NXT. It's like, it's a man, and it's just the fact where it's like, it's HBK having his finger on, like, the pulse of, like, current culture. Wears me out. Because I see certain things, and I'm like, he know exactly what he's doing. He know, like, this is not an accident. Like, I haven't talked to you in a long... See, this is going to wrap up with it. I haven't talked to you about Nikita Lyons.
Oh.
I've talked to my friends. I'm going to talk to you because you're also my friend. I feel like her whole existence is to cater to people who look like me. Everything about her is industry plant. Like, she was just man made to be a certain gimmick to appeal to a certain subculture. Because first it came out like, you know, my dad was a rock star, my mama was a groupie, and people was like, huh? Like, you know, but yeah, you know, they was on tour, mama got knocked up, here I came, and I'm a rebel, and sometimes I sing songs, and sometimes I spit she loved her nunchucks. It's fine. And then her gimmick was, I beat people up, and I was beating people up too much, so they told me to calm down, and it's like, you got this thick white woman that looked like a video vixen, that talks in a black set, that's beefing with black, that with, you know, like, I saw that stuff with Last Legend, I'm like, yeah, I know, this feels wrong. This feels fundamentally wrong, and it felt like it was done on purpose. Like, when they put them together in the match, Shawn Michaels went on Twitter.
He was scrolling through the timeline, cackling, was what he was doing.
There's no reason to put those two against each other. You know exactly what you're doing. That's why I put that clip of Undercover Brother on there when I saw them wrestling, when Denise Richards steals Eddie Griffin and Andre, I was just fuming. That's how I'm watching us, because their minds utilized, and I'm like, this is done. Not like she's talented. I'm not gonna talk about the out the ring stuff because she's young and dumb, and it's like she's gonna learn her lesson, and she's also 22. But it's like she is a modern woman wrestler, but a modern ass gimmick that they, and it's just kind of like, you would have thought HBK would have his finger on the pulse like that. And you see people like that, and Carmelo Hayes, and like a lot, they have a lot, like, you know, some of the stuff is over, like, you know, Tony D'Angelo, who is any more Italian, he come out with spaghetti.
But, I mean, I still have my time period issues with that gimmick, but they've gone all in on it, and they've, you know, I guess they've made it fun for what it is.
You know what's going to be funny? What's his name? Fabian Eichner's real name? So you're going to have an Italian-American, and then you're going to have an authentic Italian. It's like you're going to have two different Italian gimmicks running at the same time. That's going to be like, well, he's classy because he drives a Ferrari, and he got a nice watch. And this dude's from Jersey.
Giovanni Vinci. I'm like, you've come... Some of these names, I'm like... I mean, you couldn't make Fabian Eichner sounded like the least Italian name ever. But.
So they want to make sure it's like, no doubt.
Yeah. You're not allowed to end an Italian last name with a consonant. It's got to be with a fucking vowel, Vince. You know, Fabian, get your shit together. Where's your family from? Probably Switzerland.
Now he moisturizes his beard, so now I can say he looks like Steve. Because every bald white guy with a beard looks like Steve. That's the running joke. And I'm like, NXT is just a madhouse. They throw things against the wall and hope it works. Like, who was the guy Braun Breaker was wrestling?
Joe Gacy.
Basically, let's take Bray Wyatt. What was that? Comments like Bray Wyatt and Raven. Had a baby. I'm like, this gimmick makes no sense. What is he? I mean, the whole thing was just, it was just weird, because I was like, he was busy having gimmick. He was busy coming out cutting promos with the other big dude that's with him. Now he wrestling for the title? Like, how'd that happen? Like, who did he beat to get a title match?
Yeah, that's one where it was official that they're just, like you said, throwing shit at the wall. It's kind of fun. Like, they're a very expensive indie at this point. NXT. Hey,
I see somebody like Wendy Chu, and I just laugh. Because what else are you going to do? Because she basically is like, you know, I like sleeping, having the munchies, and Russell in my little onesie. Like, it is, it's noticeable. It works. I don't know why it works. I don't know how it works. But like, you can do something like that with like Wendy Chu. But if you're doing stuff like that, you don't need somebody like Kushida around. Cause I'm like, you're just wasting his time. So let him be. Oh. Let him go, as they should.
Yeah. Thank good for him and good for the WWE in that regard. They, you know, that was another one where they weren't doing anything with him and on the main roster. Like,
I love Dexter Lumis, but I'm like, NXT was not meant for somebody like him. He was a pleasant accident, but that gimmick was never going to work on the main roster. So I feel sorry for Indy Hartwell because basically her whole storyline vanished.
Yeah, she really got screwed in the process. Her and, well, I don't know if Duke Hudson's going to make anything of his career. He really hasn't had any luck, though, recovering from his situation.
Yeah, that was just hit back to back. And it's just kind of like, you know, you make do. Like, they know they have, like, I feel like the people they kept from their purges, they know what they have with them. But at the same time, it's kind of like, knowing what you have is not enough. And we can write with this if you don't use them right. And with the women, I would say, they had success records. Like, most of the women from NXT tend to do well. But you don't want to, like, I look at, like, Aaliyah in this line of, like, I don't know why she still had a job, to be perfectly honest, because, like, she was at NXT all that time. She never really stood out. And now she's on SmackDown. It's like, okay, she stands out because of ethnicity, but that's it. That's all.
Yeah.
And it's like,
Jeremy and I had the same conversation earlier this week. Like, Aaliyah has one of the most fascinating stories in WWE history. I don't know anyone that's stuck around that long but has had so little impact on the product.
It's insane. Like, at least Angelo Dawkins was there for... No, you know the funny... You know who it is? And you know what's funny? But he recently had impact. Madcap Moss. You know how long he was down at NXT?
Evidently longer than I would have thought.
Like 7 years, I think.
Holy smokes.
Like 6 to 7 years. Like, he was there a long ass time, but you never saw him because he was like team with Tino Sabatelli. Then he'd be hurt. He popped up on Raw on the ground. Then he got hurt. Like, I remember when he came to main roster, I'm like, the most I remember from him was when they had the NXT Combine, he had good scores. I'm like, he never did anything in NXT. And now he out here with suspenders acting like an idiot. And look at him now. The next big thing. That's the thing about Vince McMahon. He makes a lot of mistakes, but when he knows something, he knows something. It's a lot of times like he knew. I went against it. But it's kind of like, you know what? He's got a look. He's got a personality. And the crowd, you keep pushing something. But if somebody keeps doing it with, you know, with enthusiasm, the crowd eventually gets on with it. Whether they should or not.
Yeah, Riddick Moss is a better version of Mojo Rawley.
What a funny thing. Good old, I had thought about that name. I feel like Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's a name I haven't heard in a long time. Like Obi-Wan Kenobi. You say Mojo Rawley.
I don't know. It just popped into my head as you were talking about it. Just because, you know, you mentioned the NFL thing, and we always had the garage. Like, I mean, I think Mojo Rawley was just around so that they could get Rob Gronkowski onto WrestleMania.
They made a big deal signing him. He was there for, like, what, a month? And they're like, yeah, I'm going to go back and play football. What a waste.
Yeah, this takes more work than I anticipated. I'm not putting up with this bullshit.
You know, they did that with him, Cain Velasquez, and Tyson Fury all in, like, a same time frame. Just burn him, just setting money on fire for nothing. Like, Kofi Kingston's title reign got sacrificed so we can see Cain Velasquez in a big-ass knee brace have a bad match with Brock Lesnar and do nothing else. Like, Tyson Fury had a match in WWE. They talk about maybe he'll have another one. Why? I mean, I know he's a big deal, but I'm like, it just seemed like a waste of resources.
He wins the championship, and he's like, no, I make a lot more money doing it fighting once every 12 months. Get out of here.
So it's just I will say that they have lucked out recently with the celebrity use, because it's kind of like, people tend to ignore the fact that their celebrity's been kicking ass lately. Like, Logan Paul is a natural heel that happens to, I hate his existence. He's a hype beast that can fight. That's not fair.
Well,
like, he's this YouTube asshole that, like, athletic.
He's one of those guys, when I hear someone complain about cancel culture, I'm like, have you seen Logan Paul recently? What got canceled about him? Nothing?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that man came out with, however much that Pokemon card came, that's like the rarest in the planet. I'm like, this is a flex right here. So, like, that certain crowd. And I don't know, it's like, people are like, what? I'm just amazed that somebody had the wherewithal to contact Logan Paul. Like, that's normally not their demographic. But I've noticed, like, last couple of years, WWE has been doing things they normally wouldn't do. Like, you know, showing up at, like, you know, Rolling Loud and stuff like that. But, like, you had Logan Paul multiple times as a natural heel. Bad Bunny actually cared enough about wrestling to, like, kick ass. And Johnny Knoxville having an awesome WrestleMania match. I love that Mania match with Sami Zayn. I don't care what you must like, that match was amazing. Like, it was perfect. And it's like,
yeah.
You cannot half ass if you're a celebrity. If you're a celebrity. Because the bar has been raised.
Yeah. No more Lawrence Taylor days of having a terrible match with Bam Bam Bigelow.
You know, the funny thing is, he actually had a decent match. People just made out like he had a great match. But it was like, no, he did fine compared to what we used to compare it to. But it's like, we moved past that. No.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't do Jon Stewart or Kevin Federline anymore. And I'm glad that they're embracing that. And the fans need to get over it, like, because Cardi B going to be next. We need to accept that. I know people pushing, like, if you can get Logan Paul, you get Logan Paul. If Bad Bunny says he wanna wrestle, like, these people are big ass deals and an age demographic that you constantly keep chasing. Puddle of Mud ain't coming through that door anymore. Like, get over it. Too many fans are stuck on, I always make the joke, too many fans miss the good old days of the official soundtrack of Daredevil. Like, I need my Evanescence. Like, I love Drowning Pool. They ain't coming back. That era's done.
Yeah, well, and I know that I've probably said it more with you is the co-host. I love that type of music. It's not popular. I go to the concerts. It's not popular. Just period. End of sentence. I may have no idea what the fuck Bad Bunny sings. I know that he is infinitely more popular than anything that I listen to.
Yes, he is. Like, I knew enough about Logan Paul to know he was a big deal. And I was amazed that they got somebody that demographic. And I was like, that's what they're doing now. Chasing younger people. They're trying to be more cool. That's the thing. It's as it should be. Stop chasing this whole old stuff. It's like, you want the fact that NXT, what's the NXT average age watching? What, like, in their 50s?
Yeah.
How's that possible?
The wrestling age for that is definitely going up. I am at least a little bit hopeful that I feel like, at least within the WWE crowds, there's been a lot more children at them. And that's a good thing for wrestling. It's going to be weird that they're going to remember this era with fondness because it's trash, but hey, young fans keep things
I
good.
mean, to be fair, it's like we did. They had a whole ass year when they was wrestling a pandemic. There
Oh,
was no fans. Like it's
yeah.
that Thunder. It's just funny. Like it seemed like the like, Thunderdome era was just a weird thing, where it's kind of like you wrestling with no fans, and you just got all these screens, people watching at home, and it's kind of like people out here busting their ass. And I'm amazed they didn't lose their mind. And I just think about the people that, shout out to the Drew McIntyres and the Asukas and Roman Reigns and the Hikaru Shidas and like
Randy Orton definitely was
the
on that
Pat,
list.
yeah, the Randy, yeah, Randy Orton had a renaissance. Like Randy Orton became fucking Steve Austin because of the damn pandemic.
Yep.
Like, and I'll really end it with this. You know how new Randy Orton made it? And I probably told the story to you before, but people didn't listen. You remember when him and Riddle wrestled the Street Profits in Atlanta
Oh,
at a
yeah.
pay-per-view, and they booed the Street Profits in Atlanta? Black ass Atlanta booed the Street Profits. The Street Profits were baby faces. Randy Orton came out with the Migos. They treated Randy Orton like he was God. And I was watching, I'm like, yeah, Randy Orton's over. Randy Orton can tell you what, like, I am really over. I still don't like, no. They treat Randy Orton like they were treating John Cena right before he left. Like, this is the OG. I would have never thought that would have happened. Never. And him teaming up with Riddle was the best thing for both of them. Because, like, Riddle had a lot of baggage for obvious reasons when he came to main roster. And
Yeah.
Orton was this whole, he's done everything he's gonna do. What else is he gonna do? And the last time we see him, he was basically a maniac. Like he's setting Bray Wyatt on fire and telling Edge to go home and be a family man. And they put them together. And you think, oh, they're gonna be together. They're gonna break up and they're gonna turn each other. And it just worked. And it's like, it made Riddle into a big deal. And it turned Randy Orton into like, he's basically he's like, he got the Undertaker role. Like, he's the, you know when it sunk in? At the Hall of Fame. That's when it sunk in. I was paying
Uh-oh.
attention to Randy Orton at like the whole during the Hall of Fame. And everything about him screamed like this is the locker room veteran. It seemed like he was leading the crowd, like the way the camera was just focused on him. I was like, yeah, Randy Orton has that spot now. Because there's really nobody else there.
Oh.
20 years.
Oh, yeah. Good God. I've gotten through both podcasts this week without talking. You mentioned 20 years, and I'm like, 20 years of John Cena coming up here. I have not met.
He's showing back up on, what is it, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Yeah, 3 weeks,
Why?
I think.
I know it's the 20th. I know it's the 20th thing, but it's just funny thinking about that. Like, one, that draft class of, you had Brock Lesnar, Batista, John Cena, and Randy Orton from the same class.
Yeah, that's a
That's
cheat
amazing.
code.
That is amazing. And then you see where they're all at. Like, Brock Lesnar turned into Wolverine and became the best thing ever. Like, him smiling, having fun. That was like, I guess he just decided to be happy. It just worked. Batista and John Cena became movie stars, actual movie stars. And Randy Orton is like the locker room veteran. Never. And now John Cena gonna come back. I wonder who they gonna have him. What they gonna have him do?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you could have him wrestle Reigns if you want to, just to put some type of obstacle there. Everything almost seems below him, though, at this juncture.
They gonna have them feud with Theory.
Oh, good God, probably. Didn't he call him out
Jesus.
online or something already?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Okay.
I don't know what Vince sees in him. I don't know why Vince is pushing him. It's mind-boggling. Like, Theory has something like it's nothing screams, you know what, I can be in the main event of WrestleMania. Nothing whatsoever. He's not going to grow. Like, Drew McIntyre whole thing was, you know, you saw something, and then Drew McIntyre, you know, gained 35 pounds of muscle and became a man. And then it's like, okay, yeah, I can see him be the main event. Unless Theory grows 4 inches, it's like,
Oh, yeah. That is
no,
always the
it's
one thing that I forget about. I forgot about Drew McIntyre, honestly, until he came back. How much of a fucking mutant that guy is. It's like, what,
yeah, like
6'8 and 265 or something like that?
Drew McIntyre was always like he was a lanky guy, but like Wade Barrett when he was first there. Like he had the size, but he was like super big. And then he left and came back, and it's like, oh, Drew McIntyre ate. Drew McIntyre became capital Drew McIntyre. Like he came back like a grown ass man. It's like, yeah, he gonna like the old Drew McIntyre may not have been champion, but this one gonna be like it's just so yeah. Like same thing with Lashley. Like you always knew Lashley was gonna be something. It's just how you mark him. They finally let him be him, a badass in a suit. Like that, he was the last cool. Like they let him be cool, and they haven't had a cool like champion in a long time. And then they had him at Reigns, so that's what we need. Bianca Belair is cool. We need more cool champions. Ronda Rousey is not cool. She's boring. Like she sucks, and it's people forget. Like the name is still the name, but when Ronda Rousey came the first time. Not only has she just recently left UFC, she was in movies. She was in the third Expendables and Furious 7 around the same time. Like she was a real big deal back then.
And wasn't she in something? Oh, wasn't she in one of the Fast and Furious too?
Yeah, she was in Furious. She was in Furious 7.
Yep.
The one day when they was jumping two buildings, she was fighting Michelle Rodriguez in a cocktail dress. Like, yeah, Ronda Rousey was a real big deal back then. She is not now. But they're acting like she is. And it's like, the only thing that changed is time went by. She said a lot of stuff she shouldn't have said. And it's kind of like they just. She should be a heel. Because she's an asshole. I mean,
And
and it works. But.
it's still a mystery to me that she's terrible on the mic.
Because they have her talking, she doesn't sound like those are her words.
Maybe that's the problem.
That's what, yeah. Because when she was, because trust, even when she came the first time and she's a baby face, it never sounded natural. When she was a heel, talking about you dumbass fans don't realize what's really going on, and y'all want me pulling the tables for bitches. I ain't doing that goofy shit. It was awesome because it sounded like that's how she really was, an asshole. That look down on these dumbass fans for not respecting her real skills, and they try to make her baby face and her smiling, but like, no, it don't work. See, it don't. But that's how they do.
Oh man. Well, we have really tested the limits of the Stunt Granny audience here. So I will talk about a Beltane beer before it is ready for me to head off to bed. Wolf's Ridge Office Party. I have gone Imperial Stout this week on both podcasts. This one little bit more tasty, Imperial Pastry Stout with some orange peel, vanilla, and lactose, and some little extra chocolate thrown in there just for good measure. It is an extremely good beer that is not available currently and has been sitting in my fridge for longer than I can remember. So, anyway, Wolf's Ridge, always a good brewery. They're all around Ohio. You can find them should you want to. And since you are the only one that can properly close the show of my co-hosts, why don't you go ahead and do your thing, Shahid?
Yes, like Kevin Jerfango drinking his beer. I am drinking a ginger ale because, like Lacey Evans, it may not be better than anything else, but no other soda is better than that. So for Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and we are out.